We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lori.
Of course.
Damn it.
Lorry, yeah, a lorry is a truck in Englandshire.
Oh man, that's one of the things I gotta talk to you about, Ross. I'm very confused by...
Oh no.
As you know, I'm obsessed with... welcome to season two.
Hi.
I'm obsessed with English stuff.
English stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like the difference between American and English motherland proper.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like realized that like I watch a lot of English soccer and stuff, and I don't know anything about like the championship or the lower divisions. And there's all these teams that are called like the FA Cup is going and stuff. And so there's all these teams that I've never heard of and stuff.
Wycombe Wanderers.
Yeah, exactly. It's there's all these teams, but then there's all these like they're a League Two side, something Shire. It's like Dairy Queen Shire, and I'm like, so help me understand the difference between small towns and shires and like what's the naming differences between all these places? Like some of them I know hobbits live in.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I've got figured out though.
That's New Zealand, isn't it? Right?
That's just where they film, but I think it's supposed to be England though.
Yeah,
right?
don't shatter the illusion. Hello, nice to be back, by the way.
Oh, good to have you.
This is fun. I love that we're kicking off straight into an English lesson.
I'd have it no other way.
Absolutely. So, I mean, how long have you got? Shires, towns, villages, hamlets, cities, conurbations.
What was that last one?
I was speaking to somebody the other day and I used this phrase, or this word, a conurbation,
uh-huh.
Derived, I think, from urban, conurbation. It just basically means an area of people and stuff, if I'm being really technical.
Wow, this is fascinating.
So hamlets, you probably got back in the 1500s.
Oops, sorry, hold on. Say that again.
Just talking about hamlets. Hamlets, you probably got back in the 1600s or so, which are little dwellings of people and horse-drawn carriages and stuff.
It's not like a miniature ham, like a little pig or something?
All they ate was ham, and the mayor of the town was a pig, hence Hamlet.
Wait, are you joshing me right now? I feel
of course
like
I'm flipping joshing with you. How many, apart from Animal Farm by George Orwell,
uh-huh.
How many places do you know are run by pigs or animals?
I mean, I know only one example I can give, and that's from ancient Roman times with Caligula making his horse a senator. So
we are getting deep.
I have precedence, okay? For my stupidity.
So anyway, you get hamlets these days, but they're tiny little places where about five houses are. Then there are villages, which is where I used to live.
Oh.
In the countryside.
Yeah.
Probably about 5,000 people. Small little place. Has a chippy, a fish and chip shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Has a Chinese. Has a church.
Hold on, you can't say it has a Chinese. That's racist. That's
what?
It has a Chinese, like a person?
No, like if you, it's a food. It's food.
Oh, like a chippy, like a chip, fish and chip shop.
Indian.
Hold on, wait one second. Is the Chinese food in England like it is in America? Is it similar? Like, I'm going to get Chinese after this.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. It's pretty much the same.
I'm going to go to a Chinese after this, I should say.
Yeah, okay. That. You're going to go and have a Chinese.
Yeah. Was it a Chinese person, do you think, that ran this place? Or was it like a guy named
Dave? It is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. In my village, where I used to live in England, in a shire, which I'll come on to in a minute.
Wait, is it a village or a shire?
It's a village in a shire.
Oh my God.
This is why it's going to take forever. We haven't got time on this podcast. Is anyone still listening?
Yes. Lori is still there. Hello, Lori.
Good. Hi. But the guy who ran our Chinese restaurant, or takeaway, it wasn't a restaurant, it was just a little Chinese hole-in-the-wall takeaway, had the most broad local accent going. And to look at him, he looked descendant of Chinese people, obviously. I don't know what generation Chinese he was, maybe second or third. But he looked like the kind of guy, when you heard him, that would be called Dave. Because you'd phone up to place your order, and it'd be like,
hey, Dave.
Hello, Golden Singer, can I take your order? Okay, I'd like this, please. Yeah, all right, anything else, mate? All right, Duck, I'll see you in 15 minutes. And then you get there and you think it will be like an old guy with a flat cap and a graying beard looking very Anglo-Saxon.
One eye sort of closed.
Yeah, and it was Chinese Dave.
Oh, wow.
Who looked just like he was
We've got to get him on the show.
Can he Skype him in?
It was brilliant. But he's more visual, though, because to look at him, you would not think that accent would blurt out. So, where were we? So I lived in a village. Then there were towns. I was brought up in a town, which is kind of a mid-sized place.
You never answered my question, though. Is the Chinese food similar? Is it like a...
Yes!
Is it? I mean, it's like
I already said that. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Maybe I just wasn't listening. I'm bad at that. So it's like similar, like the same, like, bad for you, fattening
Chinese food? Full of monosodium glutamate, and it's delicious.
I'm going to eat so much cashew chicken in just minutes.
Yeah, so bad. So bad. This is also the same as in the UK, where you order an absolute shed load of it, you eat it all,
shed load.
And then half an hour later, you're hungry again.
Sure, sure.
That's just the way it is.
Shout outs to MSG.
There you go. Isn't that Madison Square Garden? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the towns, mid-sized places, cities. Now, this is the interesting England thing.
Yeah.
To be a city, you have to have a cathedral.
Whoa, so like...
Not a church, a cathedral.
So religion, big part of it.
Mm.
Can the cathedral just be like your house right here and we just call it Fletcher Cathedral?
Well, seeing as my house is massive with at least four spires on it and a couple of ding-dong church bells at the roof like 200 feet up,
A spire. I like your northeast spire the best.
That's are inspired. Yeah. So
well, and we're back.
It was exactly. Start low and continue as such.
Okay, so what's a shire?
Then a shire is an encompassing area like a state.
Okay.
Basically.
Like a county, maybe?
So, we have counties as well, but counties are shires. Are you still with me?
Yeah, so wait, are all counties shires? Like, can I use them interchangeably?
Well, no, because, like, where I used to live was Derbyshire.
Okay.
Where I grew up was Leicestershire.
Nine hobbits!
Nearby was Nottinghamshire and Northamptonshire, but we call them shires when you talk about it. So, Nottinghamshire or Leicestershire or Lincolnshire. But then there are other counties which aren't shires, like Sussex. Or Surrey.
I've heard of both of those.
Which are near London.
Yeah. And I've heard them called counties.
Or, they are counties, but they're not shires. Because they don't have shire at the end of their name.
This is complicated.
I can't believe we've spent 10 minutes talking about this at the beginning of our sensational second year.
I sort of can believe it. That's the best part. I've been thinking about this for a long time.
I can tell.
You were away, and I was like, damn it, I need to know what this is, but I wasn't about to like wait for you to respond on Facebook or something boring.
Yeah, I would never have bothered, to be honest.
I need it more stretched out and like over the course of 10 minutes.
Well, now you've got it.
Yeah, not just like a simple sentence where you like just copy and paste Wikipedia, and then I have to read that.
It's for the world to enjoy now.
So you got to cover the... first of all, Ross was on So You're in Seattle, another podcast that I host. So this is kind of like two pods in 1 week. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got a lot of background from you, but half of the people will be too uninspired, unlike your home here, to actually go find the other one.
Thanks.
So it's me, really. That's the I get the radio and the okay. But you were covering another Olympic Games this time in the winter.
Yes.
And this time in some country where they make too much money.
They do. Norway. So this was the Youth Winter Olympics.
Norway.
Yeah. Way. Yeah. Way, dude. This is going very Bill and Ted. I just got back from 2.5 weeks in Norway, which was an absolute delight.
Well, I have a few questions for you about it because...
They don't have shires, as far as I know.
Counties?
They do have counties.
Feeling good again. I saw on your way back, you were maybe stuck in an airport somewhere or something, and you had some American food.
Mm-hmm.
And so, two-part question. One, what was the food like in Norway? And two, what's it like coming back to America and like seeing what we're used to here?
Well, we'll do it in reverse order because being in Europe for 2.5 weeks, you get used to a certain type of cuisine.
which
although,
is
although Norway was different to what you could expect. Yeah, it was still a little bit medieval there, so kind of hunks of wild boar that you just rip off the bone.
Yeah, sure.
Like you're a king or
walk
queen.
Walk by an animal on a spit and just grab a hunk.
Exactly.
Cool.
So, okay, maybe I won't go in reverse order. You go to Norway, which is very European, not part of the European Union.
In Europe, though.
In Europe. Yeah. But Scandinavia, Northern Europe, a very well-developed economy, society, free healthcare, free schooling, free higher education, everything is free. But it's because they're very wealthy as a country. At the same time, it means the cost of living is ridiculously high.
They pay a lot in taxes, you think?
Yeah, that's cool. So I was predominantly in a town called Lillehammer.
Yeah, yeah.
Who fans of a Netflix show will know about it because it's a little town that held the 1994 Winter Olympics. And it's 25,000 people, 3 hours north of Oslo, the capital. And unassuming, pretty, ski town.
Okay.
Gorgeous place. But because it was small, there really weren't that many cuisine options.
There wasn't a Chinese?
I didn't see a Chinese.
Okay.
But what they did have...
Chippy?
Were lots... No chippies. Ah. Although they did have lovely fish and chips in a very English-style pub. Bit of a shame you go all the way to Norway to have English-style food as an English person. But...
Yeah.
Burgers. Burgers were the main deal there. Second, pizza.
I feel like you should put Shire at the end of burger. Just there's something. I feel like that just goes... The way that English people say burger always like makes me so happy.
Maybe I should start a franchise. Burgershire.
Dude, nailed it. That's going
to
be perfect.
I could do the window thing. Be at the window. Hello, welcome to Burgershire. Can I take your order, please?
Welcome to Burgershire.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Done already.
Okay, cool. I'll drive through that.
Just need some seed capital for the buns, the seeds in the buns. So it was burgers and pizza, which was devastating. Because for me, in this lovely Norwegian snow-filled town, you're hoping to get some local delicacies.
Yeah, what do they eat, though?
Although, the one delicacy I did have, or the local cuisine, I had a couple, actually, because we went to Oslo, the capital, for a couple of days for the half-pipe skiing and snowboarding, which was
crazy.
Down there in their super pipe, where the X Games have just been contested. And had some lovely fish there, big into fish, obviously. You could eat whale. They do whale.
And did you?
Of course I did not have whale.
Of course not. That's terrible.
Just awful thought.
To say that you were to eat whale, though, what would it taste like?
Yeah. Blubberous. I think it would put the Chinese MSG to shame.
I think
because this
like
would just be fat all the way through.
Tastes
it?
Like a tire to me.
Yeah.
That's what it is, yeah.
Rubbery, blubbery. Ugh.
So I don't know if you in England have a lot of steaks.
Yeah, we do.
Like everyone always likes the fatty part of the steak, and I'm still 5 years old when it comes to that, and I'm cutting that out or whatever. So whale sounds terrible.
Yeah, awful.
Yeah.
Although the one delicacy we did have was shikoke. Say it carefully.
Do I have to beep that? Like, is this,
probably, yeah.
Is this like an even shits moment?
We had a little play around with it, and I can't quite do the thing. My Norwegian friend Hannah taught me how to pronounce the shit out of the shikoke, and you spell it totally different to the way you pronounce it. I've learned this about all Norwegian words. So shikoke is like KJOTXYKMG.
Taco Bell in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pretty much. And that was just meatballs with cranberry sauce. Why they didn't call it that, I've got no idea.
I have to go. I know it's a different country, but I have to go to IKEA now and eat their stupid meatballs.
They're neighbors. It's fine.
They make a pretty good vegan meatball there.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have IKEA in Norway?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, because they're neighbors.
Yeah.
You can just go and. It's very homogenous in that regard. Finland, Norway, Sweden, they're quite similar.
Those Fens are a weird bunch, I feel like. Great at Formula One driving.
Oh, my. Yeah, I've got a really boring story for you. But
Let's do it.
We were doing interviews with the athletes ahead of... This is the Youth Winter Olympics. So 15 to 18-year-olds, the next generation of stars.
Yeah, sure.
And actually, with it being winter sport and some of the cool kids' sports like slopestyle and halfpipe, they were already the stars of now, like Chloe Kim, who's won X Games gold in Aspen and could have gone to the Olympic Games at 13, but she was apparently too young for Sochi. And she won at a canter here. But the Finns were there in quite good number. And we were doing athlete profiles for a worldwide distribution. So a lot of my work was shown on NBCSN in the US.
I have that station.
It's a pretty good station. And so we were trying to give them a world flavour, because this is not just going to the US, it's going all around the world.
Sure, yeah.
La, 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 la. I thought, oh, it's Finn guy. He'll speak English, because Finns are highly educated, and he's looks good on the slopes, so we'll try and chat to him. And I spoke to his coach. He's very up for it. Gives me this kid's background. He used to do gymnastics in his backyard. He had a trampoline.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they one day saw his friends were skiing. He thought, I'll try that, and became really good and became a ski slope styler. And so I went up to him and said, hey, nice to meet you. Any chance we can have a little chat after training? He goes, yeah, no problem. So off he goes, and we shoot him for 2 hours on the mountain, freezing cold, wind cutting right through me and my camera crew. And all six or seven of us are absolutely freezing, but we're waiting for this guy to finish, and we got lots of really good training footage of him. So I'm thinking, okay, this interview will be good. Just need like 3 or 4 minutes from him. His backstory, it'll be easy. I know English is his second or third language, but you know, you just want how do you get started? Lovely young kid, 15 years old. And then all of a sudden we stand him in front of two cameras, me, producer, a couple of assistants, standing at the top of this mountain, trying to make him look good, and he gets a bit of stage fright. And it was like pulling teeth. Poor guy, not his fault. He's 15. He's finished.
No,
not
I blame
English.
Him. No,
my Finnish
blame
is terrible.
Sure.
Okay, blame him. Yeah. So, hey, how you doing? Just tell us how training was. Pretty sick. Like, sorry? Pretty sick? Okay, you're a cool kid. That's how they all speak. So,
that's pretty good. That's a pretty good finish you're
doing
there.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell me why it was sick. God, I landed on my runs. Okay. As an interviewer, you're not thinking I've struck gold at this point. Okay, let's change tack. So tell me, how did you get involved in skiing?
Well, when I was child, I went in backyard and I practiced my trampoline. And then I see friends skiing. I think, why not?
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
And you're thinking, oh no.
So what do you think about being here in Lillehammer? Yeah, pretty sick.
I'm going to start saying this for sure.
Yeah, and it was for about 6 or 7 minutes. I think I spoke for about 5 of them, just trying to get
anything,
story out of
pulling teeth, yeah.
Yeah, poor kid. I've got no idea why I started this story, but that was part of the fun of being in Lillehammer.
My favorite Formula One driver ever is a Finnish guy, and when he would...
Mika Häkkinen?
No, I like Mika all right, too. His name is Kimi Räikkönen.
Oh, yes.
And Kimi, the whole reason I liked him, he was fast when I started watching Formula One. It was about 2005 or 6.
And that helps when you're in Formula One, to be fast.
Fast is good. Good. It's pretty sick. At the post-race, they force them to do interviews in English. You have to do that. That's part of the thing. So if you're a Formula One driver who doesn't speak English, you're in trouble, because it's like a requirement. And so every time he went, yesterday the car was good and it turns in a straight line and I tried to make the car go faster and I turned it the thing. And there was no punctuation ever. So he would give a minute response with no breaks in it. One of the most asinine English spoken performances ever, other than what I'm doing currently. And then in Tucson, Arizona, the middle of the desert, where Europeaners or the devil or whatever, I would play clips of this guy in his post-race conferences being like, another big win for Kimi Räikkönen. So there's like a small sect of people in Tucson who listen to this alternative station that love Formula One, because I like use this guy's silly, like, it was a pretty good drive and I tried to keep the car on the track and go to as fast as I could before having to pit stop and then pass the guy in the turns.
That sounds interesting compared to what I had to deal with.
These Finns are so stoic, and then also are so cold. I mean, like, not just physically, but emotionally.
Yeah,
very hard.
Yeah,
and except for Mika Häkkinen, who's a very fun guy. He's like someone learned it. I mean, you throw enough millions of dollars at somebody and I think they come out of their shell, probably.
Figure it out. I have to balance this out by saying so many of the kids who didn't speak English as a first language, their English was largely better than mine, particularly the Swiss. Don't know what it is about the Swiss.
You are English.
I know, and I've been practicing English for quite a long time.
Yeah, this is your fourth season of English, right?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
But these Swiss kids, I interviewed a Swiss girl. She was brilliant and bubbly with it. Again, 15, 16 years of age. Just incredible. So easy with their spoken English. So I'm shamed into learning another language in the next couple of years, I think.
You're too old. I hate to break it to you. 25 is the cutoff point for stuffing any kind of new musical talent or language into your head, unless you're forced to live somewhere.
So basically you're saying my life is over as I know it.
Oh, yeah. Well, not as close. I'm the one with the blood clot in my leg. I'm the one that's...
steady.
But my grandmother, you know, she moved here when she was, 50? And it was like, well, good luck. I mean, she learned English, but it was never like...
It was pretty sick.
It was pretty sick. Shout outs to Mamika. Rest in peace. So the other side of the wall is good. The White Walkers are okay. And are you a Game of Thrones fan?
No, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Nailed it.
Zero.
Moving on. So you after 2 weeks of covering silly winter sports, including curling, I hope that's the best.
I did a couple of days of curling.
Yeah. Man, that's just on TV in Canada. Like I was up in Canada a few weekends ago. They just have curling on TV.
They love it.
It's like a Saturday. It's like welcome back to the World Tour. What is it? Curling Championships. And they cover it for real. People are like excited about it, and that makes me excited because I think it's awesome.
Well, yeah. Is it 1998, maybe later. Midnight, UK, gold medal curling match in the Winter Games. 6 million Britons stayed up to watch curling.
Well, this is
a country of 60 million people.
Okay, so I've got an idea that just came to me right now. Curling is sort of the, you ever played shuffleboard at a bar?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the like large scale shuffleboard on ice, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we take curling? And why don't we find a patch of ice big enough and play pool on ice?
Well, there's a curling rink in Seattle.
Yeah, up north, Linwood-ish.
So why don't we take some pool balls from our local bar
and
see if we can rent out a lane for an hour or two and just play pool?
I'm saying if we get enough of those stones, we could probably invent our own billiards game on ice.
Okay. Well, I'm up for it.
Somebody look into this. Someone from ECS has got some time. They've got time for a lot of sports type, insane sports stuff like this. So I joined ECS this year. This is my first year. I joined La Barra Fuerza Verde because of Hugo, the voice of S2 and the stadium announcer.
So
everything.
Have you moved seats now for the games?
No. My buddy Brian still hooks up that seat. I have an excellent, for fun's sake, I have the best seat in the house. For like being a viewer of soccer, there are better seats to actually watch a soccer match happen. But in terms of like, we're right there where everything happens.
In terms of being able to rain verbal abuse on whoever you want on the field, you're in an ideal spot in the front row.
And now that person is going to be Brad Evans because
poor Brad.
Brad and I have gone back and forth for years now on the internet and everything, and so finally, like, I tracked him down at his event, Putts for Paws with Seattle Humane. It was awesome. They raised like $15,000 for dogs. It's great, and cats. But he was there, and we've gone back and forth. And I walk up and I'm like, "Hello, Brad. I'm Greg." And he goes, "Good to see you, Greg." And I'm like, "This is Laura." And he's like, "Cool. Thanks for coming out, guys. Go register right over there." And I'm like, cool.
Heartbroken.
Yeah, I was like, well, that didn't go so well. And then I tried to say hi to Stephen Fry's dog, and that went really weird. He had his dog there too. That's a cute dog, that full of wrinkles. 10-20 minutes later, something clicked, I think, with old Brad Evans, and he came over and was like, "So you probably got to get to bed pretty early, right?" Or something like that. And I was like, "You figured it out, you."
He should have just gone, "Yeah."
So from now on, like, registration's right over there.
So who are you again?
So if he's playing center back this year and I'm sitting front row right there, I'm going to be shouting at Brad Evans until he brings me a jersey or something to shut me up.
There you go. It's your mission. I'm going to keep tabs on this.
Okay, good.
Brad,
okay.
Watch.
So you come back from the land of the ice, the other side of the wall, as I call it. And what did you find when you got back to America?
Large portions. So I had the shortest route home in Olympic history. I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
Which included 6.5 hours in Newark Airport.
What?
In
I'm going there in 2 weeks.
Yeah, in New Jersey. And luckily, I needed half of it just to get through their immigration. Because the lines were... It's very English. You went from one line to another line to another line.
Please queue over here. Please queue over here.
And then finally, I thought, I'm hungry. I'll get some food. I looked at the salads on offer and thought, it's a salad.
I'm in America.
Yeah, better get some fries with that. Better get a big drink as well. And ended up getting a salad which was twice the size of my head. And arranged very randomly. And I thought, I'm back. And then the fries came and they were about the size of my head. I thought, I'm eating three of my own heads here in salad and fries.
Still cheaper than Norway.
It was still way cheaper than Norway, where everywhere was burgers. Dudeburger.no was my favorite. I mean, you're in Norway where they speak Norwegian. Why is there a place called Dudeburger?
I mean, why does the guy know? Pretty sick.
Exactly. And why were it, well, apparently, according to my assistant Elisa, who is a student, all the best burgers in Norway are in gas stations. I was like, really? Like, and they were American themed, I suppose, naturally. But Esso has the Hawaii burger. Shell has the Dallas burger. And I've got no idea.
Covered in motor oil.
What does a Dallas burger entail, for heaven's sake? But, you know, and then actually in my hotel, in a lovely little skiing village, there are only two restaurants open in the village. Both were pizza places. One was in a nice kind of alpine hut, and then the other one was in a gas station. So it's something about Norway and their cuisine, which apparently resides where you pick up your gasoline.
Gross. Their gas stations must be a little different than ours, because I would hope, at least.
They are inside the food bits. You don't literally stand there while filling your gas and someone brings a pizza around.
It doesn't come out of a pump or something, like a liquid pizza.
That would be weird. But yeah, portion sizes on return to the US. I was thinking, I kind of missed this. So it was nice to be home.
Oh, wow. I miss that obesity of America. Someone come here and give me a chubby hug. Okay, so I guess I don't know what to... Are you going to keep following the Sounders? Is that a thing you're going to do? Like, are we going to talk about the Sounders? Like, I don't...
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we're sitting here in Seattle, and the Sounders are playing this week.
I mean, I notice you're not watching the Leicester City game right now. I know that's not your team.
Yeah, I watched the first half, and I started researching vacations. What else are you going to do on a
the sweet
gloomy
life.
Tuesday?
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to vacation?
Probably go back to Europe and head out for a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at Greece. Greece is awesome.
I'm going to Europe in October for about 10 days, probably. And we're trying to figure out, we're going to go to Italy for a large portion. We'll fly into London, and then we'll go to Italy to Venice for
beautiful,
a couple days.
Beautiful, yeah.
Then we'll go to the countryside somewhere outside of Florence or in the Tuscany area for a few days, and then the last stop is kind of like open-ended, and it sort of works out like I'd like to go to Barcelona because I don't know anyone who goes there, and everyone I have met that does go there, they're like, you'll get robbed, and I'm like, oh great.
That's what people said to me when I moved to Belltown. Like, what are you doing in Belltown? You'll get shot. I lived there 3 years. It was fine.
Belltown, the Barcelona of Seattle. And
it's got lovely tapas in Belltown, down on 2nd, by the way.
It's close enough.
There you go.
I'm just going to Belltown for 2 days. That's the best.
It's got a little mini beach down by the sculpture park. What more do you need?
Yeah, and it's so much more affordable than flying all the way to Barcelona.
Probably isn't, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know where that third place is. Like, what do you think? Where should I go?
Oh, you got so many places. Do Croatia.
That's something we talked about. You could take a ferry from swapping it and going to Tuscany first, then to Venice, and then taking the ferry across to Croatia.
It's really easy. Yeah, go to Dubrovnik if you don't want to island hop. Dubrovnik's is kind of... If you like Game of Thrones, it's very...
Oh, I've seen the pictures.
It's very retro. Beautiful. You can walk the walls, gleaming old stone streets.
How are you going to reference Game of Thrones and have never seen it? Like,
well, I've seen trailers for it.
Didn't you mean to give you my HBO password so you can...
I've got HBO. I've got a child. I haven't got time.
Okay. All right.
When I'm not looking after my child, I'm sleeping because my child's awake at all hours
of the day. Or booking vacations.
Or booking vacations, yeah. Croatia would be brilliant. You could island hop and go to Hvar, which is an incredible island. It's like an hour away from Split by boat. Split being one of the other biggest cities in Croatia. Not a lot to look at in Split, but the port gives you access to all these islands. Oh, fantastic. Go island hopping in Croatia afterwards.
Oh, man, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. My one thing that I was thinking was that if we go to, and actually Lori suggested this, if we go to Barcelona, then if FC Barcelona is playing, that we should go see a match there. And mm-hmm. I was like, I would go see Suarez and Messi and Neymar play for sure.
Yeah, slight upgrade on CenturyLink Field.
I mean, also the ticket price is probably a significant upgrade as well.
I don't know. They don't necessarily sell out. Even though you,
because they could do like 80 or 90, right?
There. Yeah, big. Yeah, yeah, it's big. The Camp Nou, it's huge. So yeah, I've got loads of friends who've been and can just get tickets on the day, or Real Madrid at the Bernabeu.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There's I can't remember what the other one. My friend just got back from a 10-day vacation in Spain specifically, and there's another little place. He's like, just go to this little place.
Oh, Granada or Seville, maybe.
No, it was
The Costa del Sol, I hope, which is where all the English beer lout to go and get away from it, or have a bit of sun and drink English beer and eat English sausage and mash, which is a bit of a shame. Yeah, anyway,
that
we digress.
You're going to go on vacation to do that. So
Sounders, still keeping tabs on them. Not obviously as intensely as I have been, but yes, watch all the games and keep up with the news and I do.
So my question for you then is, you've been to China before to cover the Olympics
in 2008.
There. How is Obafemi Martins going to cope with living in China?
Yeah, that's a good question. But if you want the long answer or the short answer...
Yes,
thank you. Very helpful. He was a guy that at 15 moved from his native Nigeria to a country where he knew nobody nor the language, Italy.
Yeah.
And for a kid of 15 to leave your parents,
yeah,
the rest of your family, to go and try and make it.
I mean, he had some siring to do. That guy had he had some seeds to sow.
Apart from that, he also had some languages to learn and a career to try and build. But anyone who moves out of their comfort zone, it's like you right now,
or half
your age away, less, because you are at least 62, moving to...
Nigeria.
Now, they speak English in Nigeria, but okay, let's go to, say, I don't know, South Sudan. And obviously, culturally very different to Italy, but basically, you can move somewhere different. Okay, Ecuador. Go to Ecuador, Greg, and try and make it as a high-level professional in your industry. Go and be a radio presenter in Ecuador.
Oh, man, I'd kill it. That'd be awesome. I'd be the best.
You just play records and never talk, basically.
Who's this gringo? And I'd be like, hey, everybody, I'm having fun in Ecuador.
There you go. I don't know how we got there from China and Obafemi Martins. That's amazing. But that's just the way our minds work, right? But I think he will be able to make a success of himself.
He's playing in the second division, though. Am I lying?
No, you're lying.
I thought it was a second division team. Yeah, went there? Someone that... Never mind. It's someone else that I followed.
Yeah, someone else went there. So it was Grande or something, I think. But he basically has built his career on being adaptable and being a traveller.
Sure.
That wherever he goes, he can make a success of himself. And his own personal mantra, I remember sitting down and doing a half an hour interview for Sounders TV last year with Obafemi, and he's a guy that very rarely speaks.
Yeah,
he is less than loquacious.
Let's put it that way. Of a beast mode himself.
Yeah, but he really opened up because we were talking about his backstory, and we'd struck a good relationship up as you're supposed to do in my job, and he was explaining how he loves the idea of moving from place to place because he wants to prove himself in countries where he's not well known.
Oh, cool.
To go out and do it and show people who he is and what he's all about. And he did that moving to Italy at 15, not knowing anyone. He did that moving to England and Newcastle, tucked away in the northeast of England. He went to Germany with Wolfsburg for a short time and did that. And again, okay, not most people speak English in Germany, but then he went to Spain, Levante, and not many people knew him there, and he didn't know the language. And then he comes to Seattle, this outpost of soccer that, you know, where he was really well taken in by the fans. So I think he'll do fine, and I think in maybe 2 years' time, if he's not already retiring by then, he'll go somewhere else random, maybe Qatar, and earn another bucket full of cash and learn to live somewhere else. And some people call him mercenary and chasing the money. But if you know Obafemi Martins, then you will know that there is something inside his brain that says, I want to keep traveling. I want to keep proving myself over and over to as many different people as I can. And I think there's something in there really to be applauded, that he's taking himself outside of his comfort zone. Yeah. And of course, the paycheck helps. Of course it does. Let's not be, you know, silly here. But he's out there willing to give it a go in a new place, to head in a new direction. And of course, it's the Sounders' loss. He was the best player on the team. They couldn't necessarily keep him because when a player says, I want to go, then he'll go. And anyone who's very close to the Sounders will know that, and I just referred to it there, Obafemi was a guy who liked to inquire about getting a new contract when he went on a good run of form. And he had several new contracts while he was with the Sounders, which is unusual, but that was the star power with which he was able to pull the Sounders this way and that. But I think he'll be fine. Moreover, this last week, I didn't even realise it until he self-professed it was Oberfemi Martin's day.
Oh.
And if you go on his Instagram, he was wishing himself a happy Oberfemi Martin's day.
God, I missed
it. So there's
it.
That.
I feel like I should have gotten him something.
Mm-hmm.
It did not seem like the city took it very hard. I mean, everyone was bummed, but like no one seemed to hold it against him. No one was like upset with him. I think everyone kind of like, at least from the my Twitter feed, seemed to appreciate him and send him well wishes on his way or whatever.
Yeah, and this is a really complex issue, I think, because if he was a star player in Spain's top league or Italy's top league or England's top league and decided to move somewhere else just like that and the club felt they had to let them go, there will be uproar in the fan base. Our best player, you're selling him, you're letting him go, how are we going to replace him? But as I say, multitude of reasons why I think his departure has not been greeted with the ire that many other places in the world may have greeted it with. I think people realised that he was going to go at some point. Also the fact that Seattle Sounders, if they have a guy of big repute, it'll always be difficult for them to hold on to top quality players because MLS is not able to compete with either the money of China or the cachet of the European leagues.
Well, I mean, MLS is screwed sort of because of China all of a sudden this year was like, this is our year, let's go for it.
Well, yes and no. More no in that the Chinese league is actually targeting more players.
How
that,
dare you?
How dare I disagree with you? The Chinese league is actually targeting players that MLS couldn't afford anyway.
But that's my point, is that guys that maybe would at the end of their European careers or at the... that would maybe turn to MLS and be these kind of names that you tag onto a league that you're trying to inflate. Now, there's no reason for him to come here if there's money, being more money that's available in China, which it seems like there's a lot of. Mm,
but the Chinese signings, like Ramirez from Chelsea, who moved for a staggering sum of money, was probably too young to be considered for MLS anyway. If you regard the quantity of star players that come to MLS generally are over the age of 30. Ramirez, I think, 27, 28, something like that. So it's not direct competitor for MLS.
Good, good, good.
But what it is diluting the talent for every league in the world just by a tiny fraction. And it's only a tiny fraction because you've got to remember, this is a global sport. And okay, there are only a very small number of superstars, but in the tier below and the tier below that, there are hundreds of players of very good quality. There's enough to go around.
We have a Pirlo in MLS question. Do you think his next step will be to turn into a wizard? It looks like he's right there. Like, just let that hair go, bearded up.
I don't think he's had a shave in about 3 years.
All the color goes away. You live on top of a mountain with a giant stick and you send lightning bolts down and turn chickens into other things.
And then take over in some kind of role on Harry Potter if they ever bring that back.
That's great. So, like live action Harry Potter, like on ice.
Yeah.
Does he ice skate?
There you go. Probably.
Yeah.
He lives in New York now. There's a couple at Bryant Park, Rockefeller Center. There's loads of ice skating rinks there for him to practice.
We haven't talked since MLS announced that they're going to have the MLS All-Star Game is going to be on the West Coast against Arsenal, the team I support. My friend, Tottenham fan, having his wedding that weekend.
What? It's like he did it deliberately, just to spite you. So you're Skyping into the wedding, right?
Yeah. Well, then I'm on a can't drink for 6 months binge here too, so it's like...
Yeah, definitely Skype into the wedding.
What if I...
Send him an Arsenal shirt as a gift.
What if I saved the money that I would otherwise spend at the pub and then use that to buy an extra flight to the Wednesday night MLS game, come back Thursday, leave Friday for the wedding? I think it could be possible.
Oh, I didn't even realize they didn't overlap. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are you even worrying about?
Do you think Arsenal
here?
Will end up playing up here somewhere? Maybe Vancouver here, one of those? I bet you they will.
Nah.
They're going to do a West Coast tour if they're coming all the way over here, right?
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to think. Spurs. Yeah, they could do. They could do. But of course, the problem is the fixture list, the very congested fixture list. And the reason that Seattle didn't have an MLS, or rather a Sounders against big European game last season was the fixture list. It was too congested during the summer, hence having that early season game against Mexican opposition in, what was it, March time, some February, March time.
Yeah.
They talked to Manchester City, they talked to West Ham, they talked to a few other teams about having a team come over in the summer, but in the end, the scheduling just didn't work.
What was that? What did they do last year where there was like a bunch of teams that were over here and then they ended up playing for some sort of meaningless small cup? Like, that's like the, maybe you get two European teams that play here then.
You get so many European teams coming now to the US in the summer because it's great facilities, it's really good weather, you're very well supported wherever you go, and the clubs can make a dollar or two from merchandising and broadcast deals. So there are a couple of different tournaments that go on. I think the most high profile out of them is the International Champions Trophy or International Champions Cup, the ICC.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of European teams playing in it. As you say, it's a pre-season tournament for them, with maybe the likes of LA Galaxy thrown in. But it doesn't really matter that. It's not like winning the Premier League title because these teams are just warming up for the season.
Copa America, too, isn't that the other one?
I mean, Copa America is huge.
Yeah, that'll be
that's totally so different. Fun. That's the best 16 national teams from South America. And because it's a centenary tournament, the centennial, they're allowing in 4, 5, 6 North American, Central American and Caribbean teams.
Cool.
So 16-team tournament based in the US. It will be a really good feast of football. And of course, there'll be a few games here in Seattle.
I want to see that Suarez play in person, man. That's like something that I really want to see happen. That guy's such a monster. It's, it's fantastic.
You might even see Neymar. You may see Messi. It all depends on the calendar and the Olympics. Who goes to the Olympic Games?
Oh, how inconvenient, but how good for the Ross Fletcher house. Sounders looked good in that first leg of the Club America. We're doing this on the day of the second leg. So before the second leg. So this is going to be inaccurate by the time it comes out, I guess, or incomplete by the time it comes out. But a team that did not look good in preseason suddenly like fired up and looked awesome in the first real test of the year.
And that's the thing about preseason. You can never absolutely judge how good a team's going to be. The Sounders having to regroup in a sense, get used to the idea that Portland Timbers are the reigning MLS champions.
Barf.
That cut deep, I think, at the end of last year. Losing their best player in Obafemi Martins, but adding the homegrown talent of Jordan Morris. And initially, the Sounders were banking on Martins being there. And with Martins, Dempsey, Valdez and Morris, they had four very good strikers vying for effectively two positions.
Yeah.
Ziggy Schmidt, in his entire career, all the way back to college, the head coach of the Sounders, was a 4-4-2 formation guy, so two strikers. But he changed it because of the wealth of talent at his disposal and went to a 4-3-3 formation in preseason, so three forwards. And then Martins goes. So there are all these changes in preseason, team having to get used to playing a different system, a different style, couple of new additions, couple of guys have left, a lot of experience has left from what would be probably on the bench, which is, again, we can get into this as the season goes on as a theme, but mark this down as the strength in depth, I think, is decreased for the Sounders this year. They said they wanted to get younger and faster. Maybe that's just another way of saying we overspent on our limit, our cap limit last year, and we had to jettison some older, more experienced players to cover the gaps and fit into the MLS salary budget. So the likes of Pineda going, the likes of Lamar Nagel going, Chad That's Barrett, tough, yeah. guys that are proven goal scorers and proven quality players, Leo Gonzalez and all of his experience despite his injuries. And you could go on. Marco Papa had to go. Again, one of those guys on his day that can be the most one of the most creative forces in all of Major League Soccer, no longer with the team. But you're right, to answer the question, they from being their first competitive game against Club America, gave it a really good go at CenturyLink Field. Their fitness stood up the test of time, and they managed to come away with a draw. Now, in a game that's decided over two legs, so the first one at home, of course, and then down in altitude in Mexico City tomorrow, Wednesday night, against one of the best teams in the Americas, Club America. It's going to be an entirely different
affair. It really should only be
affair.
Like 17 minutes. They should really compensate for altitude difference and so have it be, give it your full 17 and then we'll see what happens.
Well, the thing is, Seattle, having drawn 2-2, need either a win or 3-3-4-4-5-5 draw to go through. This is the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals, yeah. The last eight of this international tournament to decide who's the best team, basically, in North America. But Club America, rather like Santos Laguna, who played Seattle in 2012 here and lost to the Sounders 2-1, will save their best for home. And the Mexican team didn't overextend themselves to any great degree in Seattle.
Yeah, I felt like we showed our whole hand.
Yeah, Seattle had to, because as a golfing class, of course, the Mexican league is much stronger.
Yeah.
They spend more money on their players. And if you've ever read the book Soccernomics, it quite clearly points out in the Premier League in England that the money spent on wages correlates almost directly to the amount of success you have in where you finish in the standings. So Seattle had to show their hand. They had to come out all guns blazing, try and get a result. They didn't in the end. They got a draw. Not the end of the world, but Club America clearly played for my money within themselves, and they could go and open up, as Santos Laguna did in 2012, winning 6-1 against a beleaguered Sounders, who were pretty naive in their outlook that day. I think Seattle have learned from that experience. They've got better since then. They're certainly a better team than since then. But I just feel, I don't think it'll be a 6-1 demolition like that result 4 years ago, Club America will have too much for the Sounders. That's not to say they don't have a chance. They have a puncher's chance. But I think they're fighting from a couple of weight divisions below.
Sure. Score one goal, then play the Mourinho 7-3-1.
Yeah, but that's part of the issue. I don't know whether the Sounders are a team that can defend for 90 minutes. That's never been in their DNA.
Have they tried just putting all of the guys across the face of goal, just like standing next to each other, and then Fry in front? Maybe one guy out there too to run around a little bit, mm-hmm. And then you just got to make sure you block the goal from the ball going in.
Yeah.
Soccer 101,
Ross. I've got to say that would be a novel approach. I would quite like to see how long it lasted for.
Oh, that would be incredible. Just bring all your tallest players to that game. You got to get that one goal to take a lead.
Yeah,
and then just park the bus. Literally, the human bus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, Ziggy, big listener. This comes out after the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.